Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and all of the voices and characters and different characterizations and personifications and the anthropomorphication.
Come on, will you, Phil?
Anyway, all of that is performed by me.
Your body on my body, baby.
Very good, Phil. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Margaret Gray. I'm very real. I have a husband and a son, and everything that Phil says about doing voices, good for him.
Scott!
I'm not done yet, Bud. And now here's Bud.
Yeah, I'm Bud Dickman. And now here's Robert Leonard.
Hey, you almost call me Robert Gray? What a jackball on a string, man.
And here's General
Galen Shaw. What a...
Sorry, General Galen Shaw.
And here is Phil Hendry.
One of these days, we're going to get through that whole thing without you guys butchering it.
Well, Phil, give us a break, all right? As I said before, I know the others don't agree with me, but the sheer humiliation that you lay upon us... Will I do all the voices? I think that alone is enough to knock us. I know I have to take a breath. I know I have to take a step back.
Come on, Margaret, I don't care, okay? I know who I am and what I am. I'm General Galen Shaw, and that's what I am, you know?
Well, I mean, wait, what does that mean?
Let's not dig too deep into it, okay?
I know who I am.
And I know who I am.
You're the only one that makes an issue out of being a voice. Welcome to the show, folks.
And wouldn't you? What if I came out and said, "Hi, I'm Margaret Gray, and Phil Hendry is a voice that I'm doing."
Maybe I am.
Don't you fuck with us, Hendry.
I was just about to say.
Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. Phil Hendry Show here of Wednesday. What's going on, man?
Well, the Democratic Convention of the Democrats.
The Democratic Convention, that'll do.
Yeah, by the way, did you see the, everybody loves the speech, that what's her name, what is the lady, the gal that, oh yeah, Meryl Streep.
What's her name, huh?
Well, that's not Clinton, I forgot who it was, and everyone liked the speech that Cory Booker, I guess that's the other night, but the big deal tonight was that glass ceiling thing, wasn't it?
I don't know if that was the big deal. If you guys saw it actually last night, because this show is for Wednesday, so let's just pretend it was last night. It was the Secretary Clinton there. Oh, Bill Clinton was the big speech.
That's it, yeah. I wondered why I forgot all about it.
Well, you're a Republican.
It doesn't make any difference. I can appreciate a good speech, you know.
What did you think of the speech?
I didn't like it. Now, anyway.
All right. So, yeah, Bill Clinton was speaking. Meryl Streep was. What do you think of Alicia Keys?
Oh, my God, isn't she one? Alicia Keys is one of those rare moments that rare find in the music world and in the world of the music, you know, what she does.
Yeah, playing a piano and everything.
Well, yes, playing the piano. She was just spectacular. Now, which one was she?
Are you kidding, Margaret?
I don't know.
The black one.
The black one. There were 50 million black ones out there.
She was the little gal that was doing that song about... What was that song about? Everybody together and... you remember her. She had her hair piled high.
Oh, that's right. Alicia Keys, yes.
Oh, that was... I liked that. The young lady was good. And then the other deal that I thought was pretty decent was that... Oh, yeah. What is the guy... that cop from Pittsburgh. Wow, they better get...
Yeah, they got one any good.
Who are they talking about?
Well, the police chief from Pittsburgh... Bless his heart, he wasn't the most compelling speaker.
Well, let me tell you, if you're a Democrat, you got the Democrat, and you do the Democrat, you're doing the Democrat convention of the Democrats, you know.
Why is that hard for you guys to say?
Don't do it, Bud.
I'm saying that you have a Democratic convention, and everybody thinks you hate cops.
No, that if anybody thinks that's true, that's not right.
All right, Phil. You go ahead off into la-la land and think everybody's having a fantasy about this. People think that Democrats hate cops. And when you put a guy up there to give a speech, like that Pittsburgh cop, that guy sounded like about 100 yards of wet noodle and noodle ingredients.
Well, all right.
No, I know what the general's saying.
All right, well, he wasn't the greatest speaker, you're right. But I would not go so far as to say that because you're a Democrat, everybody assumes you hate cops. If anything, the Democrats were the ones that... Well, I don't want to get into this thing.
Yeah, don't start getting political, Hendry, because it doesn't suit you very well.
Yes, sir.
Don't talk, Mr. Hendry, like that.
You want to bet? Don't start... Don't tell me what to do.
Come on, now. Going for the throat.
The easiest way to put him out of his misery.
God damn.
On the show today, folks, and we will have a show today as soon as we get to it, we have with us... Starting... Bill O'Reilly made a comment about... who built the White House?
Oh, that was it. Michelle Obama said last night, not tonight, but last, well, the night before. Late last night. Oh, goddamn.
Oh, there you go again.
What is it with you guys that you can't get that said?
What is it with you? Every time you say, what is it with you? You go, what is it? You know?
Let's just say I got a problem every time I hear you guys talking about late last night about a quarter to ten.
Well, it's just, it's a thing that you stuck in our heads.
Every time I say late last night, I can feel myself wanting to say about a quarter to ten, my baby came in. And
right, what are we trying to say here?
I'm trying to say the night before last, it was Michelle Obama, who said that she was there living in the White House that was built by slaves. Apparently, Bill O'Reilly took great exception to that. Excuse me.
I'm having a hard time here.
I know I'm having a hard time.
Well, just pointing out, you went like great, great, great.
Do you want to die?
Margaret, wait. You know, you're always pointing out how other people are not saying things right.
Are you nervous or something?
Why?
Because you want to...
Margaret, will you just get it, Sid?
Bill O'Reilly the other night pointed out that, well, he said he thought Michelle Obama was wrong.
About what?
About...
Okay, come on now.
Strangle his ass.
About whether slaves built the White House. And yes, they did build the White House. There's a thing happening. I'm a big history fan, and one of the things that I despise more than anything in the world, and you have to run around and you have to... It's almost like being a janitor or something. It's like being the guy at the school that had to clean up all the little puddles of vomit. You know, when you were a kid, all the kids threw up, and here comes the janitor.
No.
Well, believe me, we had one of those janitors at our school. I don't know where you went to school.
I went to a military... Excuse me, I went to a military academy, and that was in Fresno, California.
What was the name of it, General?
Fine Valley Military Academy. The very finest of the fine come from fine. That was the name of our... That was the slogan they used.
To what?
To the... What am I talking to myself?
That was the military academy that the general went to.
But, I mean, what grade were you in?
I was a young... I was from second grade to eighth grade. Fine Valley Military Academy, the finest of the fine, crawl out of fine.
Crawl out?
Yeah, because let me tell you what. When they got done with you at Fine Valley, you were anything but fine. You were in critical condition. But that's what you got to do to make a young man... Ah, fuck it.
Well, I mean...
I understand. Now I'm completely off base as to what it is we're trying to say.
You were talking about Bill O'Reilly. And...
All right, we're going to have Steve Bozell on to talk about Bill O'Reilly. We'll get into that. We also have later on Don Berman talking about the highest paid CEOs run the worst performing companies. This is a new study that's just come out.
Yeah, it's in it, the best... And Don Berman going to be on to talk about L. Ron Martin.
Oh, not L. Ron Martin. That hood. He's a... That man that runs Channel 19 is a... He's a, I don't know what you'd call it. He's just a slimy hood, yes, of Italian origins, but now don't let that... I'm not being racist or bigoted.
I didn't say you're racist or bigoted, but I'm just waiting to see if he could get to the end of that sentence.
Why?
Because you're...
Best guy, you mess around with Italianos and everything.
Oh, is that what I'm doing?
All right, L. Ron Martin will be talking about it, and then later we have Karen Deauville. Or is she coming up front?
Yeah, well, two of you.
I got Karen Deauville on the phone right now who'll be talking with us.
Karen Deauville and her husband, Herb, and her brother-in-law, Jerry, are in town. And apparently they are going to be talking with us about this friend of Jerry's that hit the lottery. What is this guy's name?
Sam Septimiglia.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Sam Septimiglia is a family friend.
What is his name?
Sam Septimiglia. And
what did he do?
He won $3 million in the California Lotto Lottery Sniff-Off, or whatever the...
Well, what was it?
Dude, I kind of like the Sniff-Off.
Yeah.
What is the Sniff-Off?
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right, would you guys clean it up?
See, this is what I'm talking about.
All right, I'm sorry. Come
sit down, Margaret.
No, I will not be a party to having someone look me up and down after they say Sniff-Off.
I didn't... If my wife Patsy's listening, I did not look her up and down. Now, you should come to the... Don't you let her think that...
All right, Patsy, I'm kidding.
Margaret, that's not cool.
It's not cool if he would look me up and down.
All I'm saying is...
Well, so what happened to Sam Septimiglia?
He won $3 million in a California Sniff-Off. Ain't you here too good?
If I hear Sniff-Off one more time, I'm going to belt somebody.
California Lotto, man. Nobody knows what it was.
Have we got them on the phone?
Not yet, no. Well, wait a second. Are they down?
Yeah, they're down at Lotto at the Carnival, not the Fredmo Carnival, but down at the Ventura Carnival.
They're at the Ventura Carnival. Karen Deauville and her husband, Herb, and Jerry. Now, where is this car? Hey, Karen, how are you?
Oh, Sarah, I'm so on the phone here. Jerry and I and Herbert are here at the FBS. We're at the carnival, Phil.
Which carnival?
Oh, we're in Ventura County. We're up here at the Red Hot Chili Day or something. What is it, Herb?
Yeah, Red Hot Chili Day.
I wanted to call you up and tell you that I heard what you were saying, Phil. I know that you are. You know, you're in the middle of your program. And,
Karen, would you please not whisper? It drives me ape.
Margaret, I'm trying to keep you happy. I'm trying to make Phil happy. We have to get going, okay?
And yes, but because you have to get going doesn't mean you have to whisper.
I'm sorry. All right. But I don't want to bother the people. There's some people waiting in line right here, Phil.
If they're waiting in line, they'll, you know, get over it. So what happened?
Well, what happened was Sam said that let me tell you. Jerry has a story. Come on.
Yeah.
Jerry, who was Sam said that? Sam Septinelli is a friend of Jerry's. He hit $3 million, Phil, in the California lottery.
Holy Jesus, $3 million.
Three, just general, $3 million. And he's investing it in a meth lab. In a meth lab, you know.
Oh, goddamn.
Shut up, Jerry. I got...
Why'd you do that?
Herb, why don't you boys go on the roller coaster, all right?
All right.
I'm going to put them on the roller coaster. Hold on for just a minute, okay? I got that, Phil?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Where is she?
Let's put it on hold. She put it on hold.
All right.
What is this? You know, she's putting a couple of grown men on a roller coaster so she can talk with us about Sam Septinelia and his bullshit. And,
oh, please, General, I would really appreciate that you not talk like that.
Oh, you'd appreciate it, huh? Well, I'd appreciate it if I get a straight answer out of somebody around here.
All right. We've got, where are they, bud?
Yeah, hi. Karen? Yeah, I understand. I certainly do understand. Of course I do. Yeah, she's right back now. Okay, Karen, go ahead.
No, I am so sorry. I had to put Jerry and Herb on the roller coaster. Sam Septinelia is a friend of ours. He hit $3 million in the lotto. Do you believe that?
Now, when you say $3 million, $3 million the California lottery, and you said he's going to invest it in a meth lab...
Now, I told him...
Well, that doesn't sound very smart.
That's ridiculous.
Well, that's exactly what I told you. I said, tell Sam Septinelia that putting it into a meth lab, we don't think it's too smart. And so I said, well, here they come right now. Hi, guys.
Yeah!
Okay, all right. I have to, so Sam Septinelia said to the guys that they're going to be, millionaires if they help invest in this meth lab. You know what I'm saying, Phil? You know, Phil? You know?
Yeah, I do know.
All right, so I put the boys on a roll. They don't hear what I'm saying.
What makes you think that...
Well, hold on, here they come. Hey, guys, I gotta take a picture of them. Hold on.
Yeah! God
damn. I just gotta take...
Why are they, you know, I can't hear anything.
I'm sorry, they have to come again.
I hate it so much.
Oh, Herb hates the roller coasters. So here's the thing. They're investing the $3 million in a meth lab. What do you think?
You're asking us what we think.
Yes, sir. What do you think?
I think that's the dumbass move of a lifetime for your friend Sam Septinelia, who sounds like he's a dumbass, with the dumbass...
Look, Karen, it is not very smart.
Wait, hold on. Hi, guys.
La 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 la.
What is that, anyway?
The roller coaster.
Yeah, it sounds like they're on a roller coaster.
The boys are on a roller coaster. I put Herb and his brother Jerry on a roller coaster. Here they are right now. They're coming around. Here they are.
I hate it.
I gotta get going.
Well, I'll tell you right now, this Sam Septinelia investing his $3 million in a meth lab.
Well, the return's good. Here's Herb. You got off the... How'd you guys have fun?
Hey!
Herb, what's the return on a meth lab investment?
It'll be very good if you don't get arrested. If you don't get arrested, very element. This is Phil.
This is Phil Henry. He's Herb.
Herb Doyle. It is very good. Very good indeed, if you don't get arrested.
If you don't get arrested.
Well, there's the magic words right there, Doville. How long do you think those guys will stay free?
Look, General, I love my country so much that I respect you, but you, I respect your rank, but you, I hate... No, sir.
Jerry said he's sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't need Jerry mumbling into the phone.
I hate him.
You know, Herb just has a problem with you, General.
Well, he's got a problem with anybody that tells him the truth. And one of the things he needs to know is he ought to go to the dentist to have his tooth cleaned.
He says you need to go to the...
I heard that joke.
Okay, so I have to go because the guys are going to get back on the roller coaster. But I wanted to know about the $3 million that they're going to invest in the meth lab. You think it's a bad idea?
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea.
It is a decidedly terrible idea, dear.
What?
Are you hearing me?
Just a little bit.
It's a very bad idea.
Could you speak? I'm sorry, Margaret.
She said it's a bad idea.
No, Margaret.
It's a very bad idea.
I'm only kidding.
All right, thank you very much, Karen Deauville. And,
you know, there's a woman and her husband and everybody else that's just, they're itching, they're aching, they're Claude aching. You know what I mean?
That's pretty good, Claude aching.
Yeah, they're Claude aching. They're way to, boy, do they want to die.
Phil Henry Show traffic.
All right, let's get over to Bob Bacon before we all die. Bob, how's it looking?
I'm doing everything. I put that freeway right down in Brooklyn. I'd be going Brooklyn side right now. I'm going to be moving on the freeway. There's a three-bit friend and a three-bit swerving in the farm down, the farm animal. And if you want to put that there, you better put your pants back on for that one. Sorry, I have a sick guy down there lined up behind the farm animal right there this morning. It's one of those mornings. You're out there, this guy boy.
Hey, I'm on the farm boy.
I'm that farm boy, too.
Farm boy, Bob is daily, and then, Bob is daily, I'm not going to tell them so you can fly a racial chimpanzee, and a chimpanzee to work on farm. I can die with the Ebola virus, and being out there, the Zika virus, left out of it, and pigeon virus, and swine flu. Come over to the boy, Skype. It's going to be sweet, then. I'm going to die with somebody who says it's out there, but I'm going to do with the Google, the way you do it again. I don't know what that was, that's the
Zika virus. Yeah! Boy, Sky Baby, sweet hand. Thumb steer.
A colossal time awaits all at the Fernigans. Fernigan sales. Right now, those beautiful divans, divans, and sofas. Divans, divans, and sofas. And now at Fernigan's bedroom suites. Those end tables that you can only dream about. End tables coming as early as tomorrow. Fernigan's. Fernigan's Furniture in Pasadena and elsewhere. Fernigan's Furniture has the furnishings for your home that you always had wanted but couldn't afford, but now you can afford it and now you don't want them. Your living room, your dining room, your kitchen. What furniture do you put in the kitchen? Well, now you can. Put a sofa in your kitchen just to see what people say. Fernigan's. You can also furnish your outside patio with beautiful lawn chairs and dinette sets. Fernigan's in Pasadena and elsewhere. Fernigan's Furniture. Hi, Chip Fernigan. I hope you sit in one of my chairs. I'd like to hear you say, I went to Fernigan's, now I'm sitting in it.
I said, na 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 na.
Hey, how you doing? It's Presto Ziegato here, reminding you that Presto Ziegato Dance Lessons at our new dance studios open up in Arcadia on Huntington Drive is a place to go for all of the latest steps, the tango, the mambo. You can do the merengue, the cuno, and also the quila. Plus, we can teach your young people how to do that nice little sidestep, that four-step waltz, all that cornball for the debutante ball. My name, Presto Zicanula, and this is the Presto Dance Step, man.
Presto Dance Studios open 24 hours a day.
Man, we're always dancing at Presto's. I said a na, 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 na.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
Oh, yeah. General Galen Short here. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Oh, yeah, baby. You used to call me on your cell phone.
Man, that song's so jazz, man. That song sucks.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Let me tell you something about you. Oh.
God, man, talk much? I think you got Lou Gehrig disease.
Lou Gehrig's disease, you moron.
I got Lou Gehrig's disease.
Ever since I left.
Let me tell you something, Dickman. You've got Lou Gehrig's disease right now.
How do you know that?
Because pretty soon you won't be able to move anything starting now.
All right. Enough of that stuff.
This guy, I'm telling you.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Karen Deauville, and your husband, Jerry, and your brother-in-law, your...
No, her husband is Herb.
Your husband, Herb, and your brother-in-law, Jerry. What was that story anyway, bud?
That's what they're talking about. There was another guy who won a lottery, and he invested in a meth lab, and that was in Waycross, Georgia.
This is a guy, he won $3 million in a lottery, in a scratch-off. So that's why...
Let's talk about the sniff-off.
Look, Dickman, there's no sniff-off. All right?
See, he does that to gross everyone. Particularly, you want to gross me out. Because the sniff-off, you know...
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, man, you know. Look, Dickman, everyone knows that when you say a sniff-off, it's all about, you know...
No.
Well, like, if no one's stating it,
No, no one's stating. What is it with you, Phil?
If no one is saying it, then why do you guys have to bring it up?
Because I'm a lady, and I don't like him sitting there going, hey, the sniff off.
Yeah, that's kind of rudeness in it.
Oh, I don't know. Just don't say sniff off anymore.
What is this thing, this guy in Georgia?
He won a scratch off, invested all of his winnings, $3 million worth of his winnings. His name was Ronnie Music. Is that this cat's name? Yeah, Ronnie Music Jr., age 45. And this dumbass put $3 million into a meth trafficking ring. How stupid do you have to be?
Hey.
It's time for How Stupid Do You Have to Be? Now, this guy, that was a very nice effect. Who did the voice?
You.
Oh, I forgot.
Now, this guy, let me ask you something. This is a guy that,
You said something.
I know that, but don't point out every time I make a mistake, okay?
That's what we do on this show.
Knock it off.
This guy took $3 million and stuck it into a meth... See, to me, that sounds... That sounds like the dumbest guy in the world.
Well, you know what I think it is? It's one of these guys that had some friends that had a meth ring, and he just... He took all $3 million of his dime. Probably thought it was a sure thing or something. Ronnie Music, 45, pled guilty to federal drug trafficking and firearm charges during a plea hearing last week. Evidence presented in the case suggested Music worked with a group to gain access to and distribute methamphetamine throughout Georgia. Some of Music's conspirators were caught trying to sell about 11 pounds of crystal meth valued at more than $500,000. Music was revealed as the supplier during the investigation. They seized $1 million worth of methamphetamine, a large cache of firearms, thousands of rounds of ammunition, multiple vehicles, and $600,000 in cash. This guy, according to the U.S. attorney, Ed Tarver, decided to test his luck by sinking millions of dollars of lottery winnings into the purchase and sale of crystal meth. As a result of his unsound investment strategy, he now faces decades.
Yeah, not that bad.
Should be laughing at a guy's misfortune.
Well, what do you mean, laughing at a man? This man, this clown, this Claude, decided that he'd sink.
Yeah, he decided to jump in with both feet.
It never ceases to amaze me, but there you go. Speaking of dumb, and I don't want to, you know...
Now watch it, Henry. Bill O'Reilly is extremely popular.
Is that right? Well, I don't want to run afoul of him.
What are you talking about? I'm not saying you can't be honest, but he is very popular. And ain't he a historian of some jazz?
Bill O'Reilly's not a historian. He tries to pretend like he's a historian. What did you say?
I said, hit it.
What do you mean, hit it?
I knew you were going to take it again.
I don't like you knowing things I'm going to...
Don't reach over. Yeah, you missed me, huh? You missed me, yeah.
Didn't miss you that time.
Cut it out.
Bill O'Reilly, as I was saying, considers himself a historian, but he's none of those things. He is, at best, a lout. He is, at worst, a slob. He is, at best, slightly unfinished. At worst... He eats with his hands. At best, I would say he has a little ways to go in terms of taste and clothing. At worst, he gets his garbage off the rack at the thrift store. At best...
All right, Margaret, we get the idea.
You understand?
Yeah. Bill O'Reilly apparently took exception to Michelle Obama saying that the White House was built by what?
By slaves.
I'm sorry, yeah, by slaves. Let's listen.
Slaves that worked there were well fed and had decent lodgings provided by the government, which stopped hiring slave labor in 1802. However, the feds did not forbid subcontractors from using slave labor. So Michelle Obama is essentially correct in citing slaves.
We knew that, man.
White House,
well, this is the point of Fox
working as well.
This is the point of Fox. They're fact-checking something that is a fact that no one needs to have fact-checked, except for the idiots. Let me underline that. The idiots that watch Fox.
Now, wait, hold on for just a minute. I watch Fox News.
All right, well, let's just say you're not an idiot, okay?
Well, thank you very much.
But I'm telling you right now, the only people that needed that fact-checked were bozos.
You're talking about a bozo. And saying it, me and General Shaw...
Don't look me in with you, okay, if you don't mind, Dickman.
All right, but that's for saying...
What is being said here, and Margaret's making the point, and it's a very good one, the only people that need to have that fact-checked are stupid. And I'm sorry, but it is true. That is something that should be known by everyone, And I've read people recently saying Irish workers, you know, there were no slaves. There's all of this revisionism that is happening right now. And for a guy that loves history like I do, to see people, excuse me for saying this, fucking...
God, Mr. Henry, you just stuck your foot in it there.
I'm sorry, but see people fucking with history bugs the hell out of me. And I don't even know that Bill O'Reilly... But the biggest part of that...
The well-fed part.
Why are you trying to tell me that they weren't well-fed?
Like, come on, man. If you're a slave, that's bad enough. You got to make it better by feeding them good.
That whole comment about they were well-fed and taken care of means what, O'Reilly? What does that mean?
Well, you know, you're not talking to me, but...
No, go ahead, General.
I think what he's saying... Now, look, don't put me in a position to defending O'Reilly, because I think that meathead... He's been a meathead from way back. But I will say that what he's trying to say, and saying it poorly, is that at least they weren't, well, you know...
Yeah, at least they weren't whipping them to death. Hey, all right, man.
But you gotta admit, that's better than nothing.
Is it better than nothing? Maybe I think I'd rather be dead, man, than be a slave, to be perfectly honest with you.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. How many men and women died... escaping the good food and nice lodgings.
Well, now, you don't know that the ones that tried to escape...
And you don't know that they didn't, man. Just because you're a slave and you got good food and good lodgings and you still don't consider yourself to be in hell. I mean, come on, man. So O'Reilly bringing up the fact that they were well-fed, and that is one of those comments that a white man like O'Reilly, part of that old white American nationalism...
Let me ask you something, Phil.
Oh, wait a minute, wait. Part of that old white American nationalism, that's the kind of comment that they make that they think is, like, going to make everything better somehow. Like, well, they were well-fed. And what does that mean, man, when you take care of a man who you have taken the freedom from, but you give him good food and lodgings and you force him to build this thing that if he refuses, you're going to kill him at worst, beat him within an inch of his life at best, even though you're feeding him well.
But you don't know necessarily that they were going to beat them within an inch of your life.
General, don't do it, man.
What are you saying to him?
Now, Phil,
don't do it, General. Don't be dumb.
You know something? You've never said that to me before.
I'm saying, I don't want you to say it now. Please don't. Look, I respect you.
You calling me dumb? I'm General Galen Shaw.
Yeah, I know you're General
Galen Shaw.
General Galen Shaw, but... I mean,
General, look, all I'm saying is you can't say that what you just said there, which I totally forget.
You said that the slaves, you know, that they were well-fed and everything.
Yes. Excuse me.
Never mind, man.
Oh, now, come on, Phil.
No, never mind. I mean, it's pointless. It's pointless. Some people just don't understand. You've taken the freedom from a man, and you think that somehow you're making up for your... What are you doing? You're mitigating the effects of history. You're mitigating the horror that those people went through by saying, well, they were well-fed, and they had good lodgings. There's nothing you can do to make slavery better. Nothing.
You care? You're trying to tell me...
I would think you'd know better, too, being a military guy.
What do you mean? I wasn't in the Civil War. What's this guy? Get a load of this guy, will you? I'm talking to a guy over here.
Who are you talking to?
You're right. There's no one here.
I think that the point is very well made. Bill O'Reilly is a clown and has been a clown, as you said, General. He's always trying to make things better. He's always trying to put lipstick on a pig. If I were Bill O'Reilly, I would try putting lipstick on whatever it is he's dating this week. Because, in my opinion...
All right, Margaret.
God, talk about Bill O'Reilly going out with a pig.
Well, that's the whole thing. And then the comment you made... The comment I made on Twitter...
Oh, yeah, that's what I took exception to.
You took exception... Let's get Steve Bozell up here, okay? And we will have him in just a moment, because I know we're running late.
Yeah, running late now on account of all the blithering that's been going on about it.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll be right back here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Got Steve Bozell with us to talk a little bit more about Bill O'Reilly and his horse dung. Steve's also I guess you could say a Trump fan, but that's got nothing to do with Donald Trump. We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show.
God damn, yeah. World-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
Out of school, now we done rich.
I love, this is Drake, and this is the entire album that he did called Views, which I think,
that's all right. It wasn't that great.
Well, why would you say that, you ass and a half?
Why wouldn't they?
Because we're trying, I want to get in good with some of these hip-hop clowns, you know?
Well, what do you think they're going to do, man? Give me the exclusive interview, you know?
Yeah, man. Don't just...
So, Steve Bozell joins us from Corona, California, and Steven is going to come on the line with us right now and talk about the situation there with Bill O'Reilly and his comments on Fox News. I understand, Steve, you're at an auction?
Well, no, it's an auction, yeah, Mr. Henry, but it's an auction for equipment. It's a construction contractor auction I'm at right now. It's more of an industrial area.
So it's not like people at an auction bidding on a painting?
No, I should say not, sir.
Steve, you know, we have you on the program occasionally because I know that you are you're a Fox News viewer and you're also a fan of Republican nominee Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's correct.
Are you kidding me or something?
Oh, wow.
Oh, excuse me, Steve.
Shut up, man. What are you doing, bud?
Sorry.
You know, bud, you express your opinions when people ask them.
Sorry, that's... I thought it was okay. I thought it was cool to say it.
It ain't cool with me, I'll tell you that.
Hey, I'm not talking to you.
Hey, bud, you want me to punch you so freaking hard, man, you go flying out of this booth and land up at home?
Land up at home?
Yeah, well, it means land at home.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Now then, Steve, pardon me.
It's all right, Mr. Henry. I'm very familiar with Mr. Dugan, or whatever his name is. I'm sorry, Mr. Dugan.
My name's Bud Dickman.
Well, you deserve to have it carved up.
Burped?
Burped. Butchered up is what I was going to say.
Well, you did say burped.
Did say burped. Sorry.
All right, Steve, tell me all about it. Bill O'Reilly was on his show.
Well, Bill O'Reilly, Mr. Henry, I think is a gentleman who has tried and tried and tried to educate the viewer and let them know just what this election is all about. I mean, we're up against it. You know, if we lose this and we elect Hillary Rodham Clinton as the next president of the United States, I'll tell you right now.
Look, Phil, if you don't mind, hold on, Steve. I don't want to sit and listen to a diatribe against Hillary Clinton. I thought this was about Bill O'Reilly.
It is, Steve, if you could keep it.
I will, but I mean, I've got to give it context and everything.
Well, what do you mean context? Either O'Reilly said what he said or he didn't.
Yeah, but O'Reilly said what he said, and I got to get a context on it so it doesn't sound, you know.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound stupid.
Hey, watch it, huh? I mean, he's trying to...
Wait. So what?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was... I'm trying to give it the spin. I want to give it the spin factor, you know?
What's the spin factor?
I mean, the...
Are you talking about the what is it called? The factor?
It's called the factor, yeah.
It's called the no spin zone, the O'Reilly factor. And that's the show. It's not called a show, it's a factor.
And what does that mean?
I've never known what that means.
I thought you were a fan of the show.
I am a fan of the show, but I'd rather just call it a show than a factor. If someone says, are you going home today to watch The Factor? I'm going to look at that guy and I'm going to go, you know what? You better smile the next time you say that.
Well, it isn't dirty, General.
I don't care. It sounds filthy to me.
No, that means The Factor.
I told you, don't say it.
Well, that's what it's called, The Factor. If I go home, I watch a factor.
Forget about The Factor. So Bill O'Reilly did what?
Bill O'Reilly... Come on his show late last night about a... God damn it, late night. Here I go again.
There he goes with a late last night about 9:45.
Well, what time did you watch the show?
I watched it late last night about
9:45.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just do that part. Last night, Bill O'Reilly's on the show, and what was he saying?
Well, he was basically fact-checking Michelle Obama. This is very important to fact-check. And I think there was a man who had written a note or an email to the Bill O'Reilly show, or the, if you want to call it the spin, the no, the Bill O'Reilly spin factor. That the
I don't think it's spin factor, but
well,
would you guys never mind?
Well, why don't you dick lickers get to it, huh?
Hey!
All right, I'm just telling you, Phil.
You know what? I don't like being called a dick licker, man. No, I draw the line at that.
Oh man!
I'm just telling you.
All right, would you...
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead and do what, man? I just got called a dick licker. I'm standing here with my head in my hands.
Will you sit down and put your head in your hands and continue?
All right. Are you? Anybody sitting here?
No.
Can I sit here?
No.
Well, I'm going to have to do it anyway.
Ow!
What happened?
My foot.
I just sat on a guy's foot.
Get your shit together, Steve.
Sorry. Bill O'Reilly was on his show, the Factor Zone, or some god, I don't know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Just go ahead.
And he was fact-checking Michelle Obama. Now, fact-checking is very much a part of the new media. You got to fact-check to know what you're doing. And what happened was this.
when O'Reilly said, Michelle Obama said that she was living in a house that was built by slaves, O'Reilly had to call bull hockey on that. He threw the flag 15 yards. I'm going to look that up. And turns out that she was right. But the thing she didn't mention and the thing that they never mentioned.
And who is they?
Yes, who is they?
Who is they? I mean, the people that will talk when they say that O'Reilly was wrong.
Well, who are they?
The people that said he was wrong.
Yeah, I would say they're mostly black people, right?
Well, yeah, of course they're blacks. You know how they are. And
that's exactly what I'm talking about, okay? Would you not do that?
All right, I'm sorry. I just,
The whole you people thing. It goes all the way back to H. Ross Perot.
And H. Ross Perot, now there's a guy, I appreciate everything he did for this country.
General, do you mind?
Sure, whatever you want, boss. It's your world. I'm just sweeping up. Wow.
All right, so I said, I was listening to Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly said, and they fact-checked it, and she said that they lived in a house with the, you know, old Mother Hubbard. God damn it.
They lived in the White House.
Yes, sir, they lived in the White House. And its slaves helped build it. O'Reilly fact-checked it and found out that was true. There was slaves. However, and here's the big one. However, they was well-fed and taken care of and had good lodgings, and there was Irish, and there was other, you know, people, because Bill O'Reilly was very interested in that.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet he was. In fact, I did see we just played it for everybody.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah, we played it for everyone.
Well, then why are you dragging me on here? Make me look like 100 yards of asshole.
Look at Mr. Bozell. You told me that you wanted to talk about this because you felt he was badly treated.
I did, but I didn't know.
Oh, so you thought you could just say anything and we wouldn't know what you're talking about because we hadn't seen it.
It might have given me an advantage, yeah.
Well, unfortunately.
Well, anyway, O'Reilly says, you know, that the Irish came here and all kinds of other people. And he even said, and the Irish, you know, if you're an immigrant, you know. And
yeah, O'Reilly spent a lot of time talking about the immigrants, like that somehow equated and that somehow they had it almost as bad. That's typical of guys like that.
Well, you say you don't want me to say you people, but you go guys like that.
What, is that racist against whites?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like that.
Look, why don't you quit while you're ahead, Bozell? Continue.
You want me to quit or you want me to continue?
I want you to continue talking about the O'Reilly and quit with your horse dung.
So O'Reilly said that they lived well. Now, a lot of people took exception to that.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out why to this day.
I'll tell you why. If I said, and I'm going to say it now, and I actually said it on Twitter, if I said Bill O'Reilly's wife cheated on him, but you know something? She f***ed a cop, and that's fantastic.
Bill, would you please?
I'm sorry, I have to put it that way.
Well, that's very, very vulgar.
I don't like the vulgarity or the vulgarity. All right?
Well, Mr. Henry gets off on using the vulgarities and the various dirties, the dirty, you know, the obscenities and the dirty words, or if you will, the dirties, you know?
No, I don't. The reason why I said that is because I got to get people's attention around here.
But what is your point?
What is my point? My point is that Bill O'Reilly, I'm sure it makes him feel fantastic to know that even if his wife cheated on him, she allegedly screwed a cop, one of our fine men in blue. Now, that's about the same thing that he's doing. He's saying, well, this is really bad, but hey, there is a bright cloud, you know, or whatever the hell you call it.
Got a silver lining.
Yeah, there's a silver lining.
On a bright cloud?
No, it's a dark cloud with a silver lining.
Okay, I'm lost with that one.
Yeah, but that's really what's being said here, as if there's some kind of a silver lining to being a slave, as if there's some kind of a silver lining to having your wife cheat on you.
Where did you hear about Bill O'Reilly's wife having sex with a cop?
In the news, like every day for, I don't know when it was, a few months ago. And it was alleged to have happened, and O'Reilly apparently tried to have this guy fired. And
oh, yeah, I read all about that. That's fascinating.
Are you going to keep talking about Bill O'Reilly, or are you going to talk about what Michelle Obama did by bringing up the fact that slaves worked on the white? Well, there I go saying it, even though it is true, but I'm trying not to say it too much.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to say it too much because then it might get into, it become part of the general understanding of that era. We'd have a little more history under our belts, and we might be better served that way, but you wouldn't want to do that.
What did you just say, man? That completely, you know.
Phil has a tendency to get all fancy schmancy.
Yeah, that, you know, Mr. Henry, try not to get too fancy schmancy.
Oh, I'll try not to do that, okay? I'll try not to, like, speaking English. Is that too fancy schmancy for you?
Mr. Henry, all I'm trying to say is that Bill O'Reilly, his wife had sex with a cop
What? What are you
No, I'm talking about Bill O'Reilly when he was talking about Michelle Obama.
Yeah, he says, Michelle Obama goes, yeah, I'm living in a house with slaves, and she's black. Right away, you're going to go, well, there's a black woman living in a house that was made famous by a slave, and she's trying to make it all, you know, slave this, black that. And Bill O'Reilly come along, and he tried to kind of make it better, just to say, you know, America had slaves, but we gave them, you know, decent lodgings, fair, you know, good house, good food and everything.
I see. So slavery in America was way better than slavery in other countries because, after all, we were a great country.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that.
I think it's, excuse me for saying this, I think it's the height of stupidity to try to put a positive spin on slavery at all. I think we make ourselves look better as a country and as a people if we say slavery sucks, slavery's bad, it's too bad the White House was built with slave labor, and leave it at that.
Yeah, but what about the fact they were well-treated? Probably, you know, got whatever gruel. I understand that gruel is not too good, but maybe there was the high-end gruel. You know,
what are you talking about, high-end gruel?
You're saying that whatever slop they served them, it was the high-end slop.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's a very good point, General. The high-end slop, if you will, Mr. Henry. You know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I know. No, I don't buy it at all, sorry.
Well, you see, Phil wants to be contrary.
Well, I don't see how I was wrong about a high-end slop.
Man, you can't make slavery good by saying they served a high-end slop.
Look, I'm not General Sean and Robert. I'm not trying to... What I'm trying to say here is that Bill O'Reilly, who's done very good to try to educate us on how everything is, come along, and here comes Michelle Obama going, yeah, I'm black, and look at me, I'm black, and that slaves built it. And he's trying to just give it a little bit better, you know, spin.
Well, in that case, that's the spin factor is a load. They ought to call it the dunghill factor or the dung heap factor.
Dunghill? That was a cigarette.
Yeah, very good one.
Dunghill, you...
I know.
Well, I don't know what anybody's talking about.
They're not saying anything, believe me. All right, Steve, thank you very much. So what is your takeaway from this?
Well, my takeaway is, very obviously, that Michelle O'Reilly, Bill Barack O'Reilly, God damn it.
Bill O'Reilly and Michelle Obama.
Right, Bill O'Reilly and Michelle Obama. I think she's saying that the slave built the White House. Yeah, okay, they did, but did she have to bring it up? No, and so Bill O'Reilly had to come in and give it a little, you know, spin on it.
Yeah, he had to come in and make it sound like it wasn't as bad as it was, but the fact is, yes, it was. So Bill O'Reilly didn't do any good other than to make himself sound like such a dumbass that I felt sorry for him.
Well, Mr. Henry, I think that's wrong. I think it's very wrong of you. Man.
Well, I mean, come on.
No, I just think it's very, very wrong, Mr. Henry.
I will try to recover from it, Steve.
I got to get back to this auction here because they're giving away. I got to hold on for a minute. I got Billy Swenson here. Billy, have you bid on anything?
I didn't know what to do.
What?
I didn't know what to do.
I've been sitting here all afternoon, and you haven't... Oh, my God!
All right, Steve Bozell.
Every time you talk to that guy, it sounds like he's been... It sounds like someone's pinning him in the shower, you know?
That is vulgar beyond words.
Yes, it may be,
but true.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Coming right back. I do,
yeah, and they never wear.
Arthur Barringer here for Barringer Wines. The very finest grapes are selected, and then they are fed into our Arthur Barringer wine process. Now, only I know the ingredients and the process by which we make the Arthur Barringer way, a new wine made of white grape, red grape, and a little bit of a blue grape thrown in. We also have the green grapes. Those are the ones that you eat. Did you know that you could actually make wine out of those? Yes, you can. Green grapes and those red seedless grapes, too. We'll make any kind of wine you'd like. We can even make wine out of, say, kiwi or turnips. In fact, back in the day, I made all kinds of bootleg hooch. Arthur Barringer Wines, the very finest of the fine. Arthur Barringer. When you say wine, say
Barringer!
Arthur Barringer Wines.
Mendocino, Sonoma, Apa, Sonapa,
Tonapa, California.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, and that, of course, is the beautiful music from Camelot. Yes, Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke made a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful panorama of joy in that wonderful play about the chimney sweep who brings a singer to the Ed Sullivan Show who sings that great song, Wouldn't It Be Lovely? All of that can be yours and more with Margaret Gray's songbook. And here's another one from the beautiful, beautiful My Fair Lady. I got a lot of living to do.
Yes, it's the Margaret Gray Songbook, and it can be yours for a limited time only. Okay, it's over, so you can't have it now.
That was the limited time?
Yes, that 2 seconds.
The Margaret Gray Songbook, I do hope you'll keep it in your home, keep it in your heart, keep it in your head, and if possible, keep it in the head, meaning over the toilet tank. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show in the El Pacifico, Southern California. My name is Robert Leonard, and here's Mr. Henry.
Thank you, Robert, and I'll tell you, that stuff just gets to me.
All right, Phil, give it up, will you?
No, it just gets to me, man. I don't like it. I never will like it. The whole idea that some jackass on wheels is, slaves had it good.
No one said that slaves had it good, Phil. What Bill O'Reilly said was that the slave, if you will, was well-fed, pampered to a degree, probably had a bit of his butt powdered. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. Hey, you know what, bud? I think our TriCaster is wearing out because I'm looking at, like, I'm invisible over here.
Yeah, I just noticed that. What are you talking about, Mr. Aaron?
I'm talking about here. I just got to do a little white balancing here, folks. I'm talking about right here. You see that? Okay, now it's gone. We are going to be getting a new TriCaster here very, very soon. It's going to be a beautiful thing. I'm looking forward to it. That $9,000, is that the new $9,000 job?
Well, they've got a number of them, and I would have to say that...
Never mind. Don Berman is with us. Don is with the Channel 19 news team and news room, and they've done, God knows, a great many reports for us over the years. We're going to talk to Don right now about the story of CEOs of the wealthiest CEOs are with some of the most underperforming companies in America. Don Berman joining us from the newsroom at Channel 19. Don, how are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you.
Do you see the story?
I did see it, yes, and it's quite a revealing story as well. Essentially, the highest paid CEOs tend to run some of the worst performing companies, according to new research. Now, we are planning on doing a report on this at the 5, and then again at the 6, and at the 7. I'm just going to ask Terry Swenson, are we doing this at the 10 and the 11?
Are we doing what?
Are we doing the report on the on this CEO's...
Well, you're on the air with Phil right now.
Yes, General. I'll get to you in a minute, okay?
All right, let's not have an argument.
Well, I'm doing my job right now.
All right, if you're checking with your newsroom...
Just 1 second. Are we doing the report on the CEOs at the 10 and at the 11?
No, you're doing it at 10 and at the 11 tomorrow.
The 10 tonight?
Yeah.
And why the 11 tomorrow?
Oh, I mean, the 7.
The 7, all right. I've got that problem again, Phil. I've got a fucking dump...
Watch the language, please.
I apologize. I apologize immensely, Phil. I'm sorry about that. The highest-paid CEOs do tend to run some of the worst-performing companies, according to new research. The study carried out by corporate research firm MSCI found that for every $100 invested in companies with the highest-paid CEOs, would have grown to $265 over 10 years. But the same amount invested in the companies with the lowest paid CEOs would have grown to $367 over a decade. Are CEOs paid for performance, evaluating the effectiveness of equity incentives? The report looked at the salaries of 800 CEOs. Now you're talking about 800 CEOs in companies as you go down, let's see, down through the, hold up.
Sorry about that.
Now, that is L. Ron Martin, who is Don's boss.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
And they got an espresso machine right next to...
Hold on. Is that it, Ron?
I got to come back in.
I want to tell the audience that he came over and poured that that cup of espresso, I think, on purpose, didn't he?
Oh, of course he did. He knew I was going to do this report, because let me tell you something. L. Ron Martin, who is one of the highest-paid CEOs in television news, and is obviously our manager here at Channel 19, we just saw our ratings. Well, see, now I'm going to be telling stories on myself.
Well, you're going to have to make yourself look bad here.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not, because while Channel 19 underperforms, I personally... am doing good. Trust me on that.
Well, how do you know?
How do I know? Because I happen to know that I've won an Emmy.
Ron, you did not... Don, I mean, I'm sorry. You did not...
No, so you call me Ron. Is that it? Like Dr. Ron Turner?
No, I'm calling you Don.
Are you belching?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Don, you did not win an Emmy. You were nominated for an Emmy.
All right, I was nominated for an Emmy. It's the same, in my opinion, it's the same thing. But I... See what, listen. I'm very sorry. You know, Ron...
Can I talk to him?
What good does it do? Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Martin. It's Phil Hendry.
What?
It's Phil Hendry.
Hold on after me. Hey, Joey. Hey, Joey. Hey. Come on, take these. Yeah.
Sir, that's very distracting. I'm trying to talk to Don on the air.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I'm very sorry. All right, he's in his office now. All right, he's gone. He's completely gone. Okay. Now, as I was saying, there was a cut. God damn.
Who's that?
It's L. Ron Martin.
You just said he was completely gone.
Well, he just showed up. Where were you? What do you mean where I was? I was here. Yeah, never mind, man. That's it. All right, this company that I work for, Channel 19, Phil, is underperforming, and he's one of the highest-performing CEOs. So it bears what this study claims is borne out right here at Channel 19. But you're asking me, Channel 19 underperforms, and so that makes me look bad. Yes, it does.
Does that mean you're underperforming?
Well, you know, you got some balls on you.
Well, come on! What are the ratings like?
You know the ratings are not good, okay? But...
All right, so the ratings are not good. That means you are, in fact, underperforming.
Not me. First of all, the 5 and the 6 are fantastic. The 7 and the 8 are down. The 10 is way, way down. I can't even believe our numbers came in the way they did. I mean, we had a good 2. We had a 2, but now we've got a 0.1. I don't know what happened. Then at the 11 o'clock, it goes way up to a 0.2.
Way up to a 0.2.
Yeah, that's right, Phil. Way up. Hold on. Here he comes again. So, Ron, please don't do it. I'm sorry. Just got to get one more here. Fuck. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. And, Ron, you want some? No, I don't want anything. I'm sorry. All right, L. Ron Martin. Thank you, Ron. L. Ron Martin just got his cough.
Well, it's obvious to me he's not showing you any respect because he thinks your numbers are so crappy that, you know, you don't deserve any respect.
Well, let me give you a word of advice, my fine feathered friend. If that ass thinks he's going to treat me like I'm garbage, like I'm just the espresso boy around here, I'm the one guy, even though the station has no ratings, I am the one guy that is, I don't have ratings either. Okay.
Hey, what's wrong with you, man? Hey, Ren. Mr. Henry, I'm sorry. He left.
He left?
Yeah, it's Don Berman. Hey, go get Don, huh? Hey, Joey, go get Don, huh?
Hey, go get Don?
Yeah, what am I saying? Am I talking to myself? Go. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. He's going to go get Don right now.
Well, don't bug the guy, okay? I think he got a little upset with you doing the espresso.
I just need to do one more cup here, huh? One more. Here he comes. Here comes Don now. Hey, Don, what's up?
I got him.
What you do? You broke his arm? Or you break his arm? I'm all right. I'm okay. Oh, God.
Are you okay? What happened?
He pinned my arm behind my back.
I'm sorry. Okay, that's all.
Yeah.
All right, Don, so you're doing great.
I'm doing great. Channel 19 stinks. L. Ron Martin's overpaid, but I'm doing fine. It says here that I'm not doing fine. Fuck this.
Can't hang up.
I know. Would you please let me hang up?
No. All right, I'll let you go, man.
Yeah, thanks.
How about that?
You know, you love to torture people, don't you?
Yeah, give the guy a break, will you, Phil? What do you mean give him a break? I gave him a break. I'm trying to talk to this guy, and that's his boss doing that, man. That ain't me doing that, okay? What are you going to do, you know?
What you got to do is right.
All right, so good luck to you, Don Berman and L. Ron Martin and the rest of the crew over there at Channel 19 News, whatever they become eventually. I guess that's what they is or will be. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Good day, everyone.
World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. It is executive produced by Mr. Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast 1.
guys, knock it off, please.